I'm so excited everybody's here to hear about near-death experiences and the afterlife. I actually am a best-selling author. I've written three books about what heaven is like, which is the name of my first book, What Heaven Is Like. But my most recent book is more detailed about what I saw in heaven. At the time when I wrote my first book, really didn't know what I was doing, but now I kind of sort of get in the hang of it. But I want to start out with my surgery, because when I was in surgery, we expected it to go like any other surgery, right? You come out, you go into the recovery room, and then you go home. And supposedly I wasn't going to be able to walk again, but I said my prayers, and here I am. I walk and I run. But I knew during the surgery that it wasn't going very well, because I all of a sudden knew that I was in two places. I was up here and I was looking down, and I could see that I was down there too. And I couldn't really understand, wait a minute, how are there two of me? And as I was looking down at my body laying down on the operating room table, from my spirit up here, I could see the doctor furiously trying to start my heart, because yes, I did die. I died for 3.5 minutes. Although, well, I'll talk about that later, but during the time that I was up here watching them working on my body, all of a sudden I realized, wait a minute, there's two of me. Why is there one down here and I'm up here? And when I realized that I was two different people, I also realized that I had multiple levels of senses and experiences, and I could hear and I could smell. And it was like, I don't know if you've ever been to a 3D movie, but it was like 100D. And there was so much going on in heaven that I'll try to condense it and tell you what happened. But I knew that. As I was looking down at myself, I realized that I had just traveled through this amazing tunnel. And at the end of this tunnel was this beautiful, bright light. And as I was there, I'm thinking, wait a minute, why are there two of me? And I turned around and a man was walking towards me. And I'm thinking, wait, are you God? Are you God? And he said, no, I am your husband's dad. And I'm thinking, wait, my husband's dad? No, but you're dead. And he said, yeah, and you're in heaven. And so I said, okay, well, I asked him, are you God? And I might have said that. Anyway, I asked him if he was God. I also noticed that the colors in heaven were brilliant and beyond description. And there were colors in heaven that we don't have here. And trying to, I see you're nodding, yes. There are colors there that I really can't describe, but there'd be, like, let's say a gold, if you're looking at a gold color. Gold is not just gold like we see your necklaces and your watches. Gold in heaven is not gold like here. It's got silver in it and white in it, and it moves and it ebbs and it flows. And it's not just a color. It has a life all to itself. And I remember seeing all these flashes of the gold and white and silver. And then I looked at Richard's dad, who goes by the name of Kim. And I said, okay, well, what am I doing here? And he said, the God has brought you here because he has a message that he wants you to take back to earth with you. And I said, okay, well, what's the message? And he said, well, we're not going to tell you. You will know the message when you know it. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't really understand this. So I turned around and he said, I want to show you something special. And I'm thinking, wait, this isn't special enough, because where I was brilliant lights and gold and silver and white, and it was so loud and clear that it was almost like overwhelming my mind, and I started crying. And Richard Stack goes by the name of Junior. He turned around and he looked at me and he said, "Want to see something special now?" And I'm like, "What? Isn't this special enough?" And he said, "Oh no. You see this door behind me?" And I turned around and I looked and I said, "Yes." And I'm looking at this door. I'm saying yes to him, but this door was, he said, "This is the door to heaven." And this door was like moving and singing, and the music was coming from it, and it was shimmering. And I'm thinking, wait, how can this be a door? It's like a person, but it was a door. And he said, "I'm going to open this door a quarter of an inch because this is a door to heaven. And I'm only going to open it that much because you're not ready to experience everything heaven has to offer." And I'm like, I mean, okay, I'm at his mercy. Where am I? I'm in heaven, but I really, you know, he's explaining everything to me. So he turned around and he opened this door just a little tiny bit. And I looked inside and I could see billions of people walking around, but it wasn't crowded. I don't know how I experienced that other than to tell you that's what the afterlife is like. There were so many people, and then I happened to notice that they were gathered in groups. They could have been towns or they could have been municipalities. I didn't know what they were. But in heaven, when you think something, the other person hears you. So I'm thinking to myself, what are all these people doing in the little groups? And I looked at Junior and he looked back at me and he said, get this right. He said, they are souls and spirits of people who lived on earth and they lived a godly life. And now they can be together as an eternal family. And I'm thinking, wait, so I can be with my mom and my dad and my brother and my family after I die? And he said, yes, we call them eternal families. And so he opened up the door just a little tiny bit more. And all of a sudden out of this door, I felt this rush of emotion, and it was love, 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 love beyond anything you can imagine. Billions and billions of cells surrounding you with love. And it was so overwhelming that I dropped to my knees and I started crying. And I couldn't understand why all of my cells in my body are leaping for joy and coming alive and feeling this love, this love, this love, this love that's coming around. And finally, Kim Jr., he also goes by Kim, Jr. reached over and he held my hand and he had me stand up and he said, there's more. There's so much more. I went to look through the door again. And I looked through that door and I saw Jesus. I saw Jesus sitting on a chair. And Jesus was taking one child onto his lap at a time. And these children were ages from just being developed, like could have been miscarried children, they could have been aborted children, they could have been just lost during childbirth, but they were ages from zero all the way to like probably 18. And Jesus would bring them up onto his lap with just so much love, and they're children, so they're pulling on his beard and they're pulling his hair and they're playing with them, and Jesus is loving them one at a time, talking to them one at a time, and yet hearing and talking to everybody else all at the same time. And I'm trying to figure out, wait, how does that happen? And Junior looked at me and he said, because Jesus can do that. And I looked at him and I said, okay, I want to go in there. I want to be part of this. And he said, no, I'm sorry. Jesus told me to explain to you, it's not your time, that he actually brought you home. He brought you here because he has this message for you. And I'm wondering, well, okay, again, are you going to tell me what the message is? And he said, you're beginning to see it. And I had no idea what he meant, but he did say, I have to send you back now because you're not here to stay. You're here to learn. And just like that, I didn't feel anything. There was no pain. There was no sensation of transfer from my body to another body to a spirit. All of a sudden, I woke up and I was in the recovery room. I forgot to tell you something. When I was in heaven, the Lord told Junior to tell me that my gift is that I would remember everything I saw in heaven and that I would always remember what I would be taught about heaven. So when I came back and I opened my eyes and I'm in the recovery room, I knew what had happened to me. And my husband comes rushing up to my gurney because he knew that there were problems during the surgery and he's bending over and he's like, Jane, are you okay? Are you okay? And I looked up at him and I said, Richard, I saw your dad. And he looked down at me and he said, Jane, you couldn't have seen my dad. My dad has been dead for 50 years. And I looked back up at him and I said, I did see him and he's not dead. He lives and he lives in heaven. And Richard, and I told him, when I was talking with your dad, he told me lots of details for me to tell you so that you would know I really saw him. And he told me that he was born in the Philippines, so there's no birth certificate you can look up, and that he was raised in Hawaii, and that as a child, he didn't wear shoes. They all ran around in Hawaii, the islanders, you know, with no shoes on. And then when he came to the States to go to school and become a professional, he had to wear shoes. So as a child growing up, Richard knew his dad never tied his shoelaces, right? So when I'm telling him the story about all these details his dad had told me in heaven, he starts crying. And this nurse rushes over and she says, are you okay? Are you okay? What's the matter? And he looked at her and he said, Jane saw my dad. She really saw my dad. And the nurse goes, yeah, we hear stuff like this all the time when a patient comes out of surgery. It's really weird, isn't it? And Richard looked at the nurse and he said, no, it's not weird. She really saw my dad. And he looked at me and said, can you tell me more details? And I said, well, I sure can. I can tell you, I can tell you that I have a gift and that I don't know what it is, but that I'm going to learn it, and that I was taken to heaven to jumpstart this gift. And you have been given a gift as well. Your gift is to trust and believe and understand, believe especially, have faith in what I'm telling them about heaven. And I told them to jumpstart your faith. I'm going to tell you details about your dad. And so I rattled off where it was from, where it was raised, about the, you know, running around barefoot, about the shoes. And Richard starts crying again. And he said, I just don't know what's happening here. And I said, I don't know either, but I guess we'll find out because that's what Jesus said. So he takes me home. And this is, you know, I'll tell you more details about heaven in a minute, but I want you to understand my story is different because when I went home that night, I was in a lot of pain, but I went to sleep like we all do at night. And in the middle of the night, you know, I'm having regular dreams, but I start having a different kind of a dream. And in this dream, I see Junior. And he says, see, I told you you would recognize me and remember me. And he said, I want you to meet Richard's grandfather. This is Kilmer Oscar Moe Sr. And now I want you to meet his mother. And he reached into this area. It wasn't a cloud. I guess it's just a part of heaven. And this woman appeared. And he took her hand and he brought her forward. And she was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Young, vibrant, full of life, full of love. And she reached towards me and she said, I'm so excited to meet you. We're so excited that you've been here. We're so excited that you've been given a gift. And I want you to tell Richard that you saw his mother as well. And I'm like, okay. And she said, I'll give you details. So she told me details about her life, that where she was born, who she married, where they lived, lots of details, what kind of perfume she wore. So when I woke up the next morning, I told Richard about what had happened. And I'm describing his mother because I saw her in this dream. And he said, Jane, what's happening here? You're describing my mother as if you've already met her. And she died way before you and I got together. And I said, I don't know what's happening here, but I have a feeling it has something to do with my message. And so we talked a little bit more about his mom, but he asked me to explain more details about what I'd seen in heaven. And I explained, well, part of what I saw was this garden when I first got there before I turned around and saw Kim. It was this beautiful, amazing garden. It's something like even a landscaping friend of mine could not even dream of, this kind of a garden. And there was this waterfall that came from nowhere, but you can do that in heaven. This waterfall is coming down like this, singing to me, talking to me. And I'm looking at this waterfall thinking, well, how does it know how to talk to me? Because I speak English. And then the water starts telling me, everybody can hear me in their own language. And I'm like, what? And then they said, look at the garden. I looked down at this garden, and the first thing I noticed, it was this beautiful red rose. And this wasn't a red like you and I see red. It's red with gold and silver and white and light, and it's reaching and it's touching and it wants you and it's loving you, and it's most of all loving and praising its creator, its Lord. And out of every cell comes this amazing light and this amazing music, and these amazing sounds that I guess roses in heaven can make, because I knew that this was a rose that could only be in heaven. And I'm describing this to Richard. He goes, what about animals? What about trees? And I said, well, you remember the Disney movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven? Well, when I was there, I saw animals of all types. And I personally experienced seeing and being with my first horse, Gypsy. She was there, running around. She was healthy, happy. And then I experienced our family dog. He was there. And I knew that our Heavenly Father loves us so much. Why would he give us pets who are like family members, only to take them away and you never see them again? And so not only all dogs go to heaven, but all pets go to heaven as well. And I know that to be true because I saw it. And what kind of a Heavenly Father would we have who would give you a pet that you love as much as you love a family member, only to take it away and then it's gone? That's not love. He loves us so much that these pets, and I remember I had a goldfish that I cried, oh my gosh, we're flushing it down the toilet, and I had guppies, and I couldn't stand the loss of those pets. Guess what? Those goldfish and guppies and all those pets are in heaven waiting for us. And if we're not there yet, and that happens to be your pet, an ancestor is taking care of these pets for you. And isn't that fascinating to know that God gives you these wonderful fur babies or swimming babies or reptiles or whatever kind of animal it is that you've loved. He loves us so much that we keep those family members. And I have six fur babies, so I know what it's like to love as part of my arm and part of my family. And that's the way our Lord loves us. And that's the way our Lord wants us to have happiness in eternity. And then I explained to him trees. I never was a tree hugger. If you know what a tree hugger is where you don't want anybody to cut down a tree or hurt its limb or disturb trees in any way. I never was, that I never thought of it like that. But when I was in heaven, I learned that all living things have a spirit and all spirits go to heaven. So it gave me a completely different look at pets and life on earth. And I've always been since I shattered my ankle, I started running and walking every day. And now when I'm walking on the Provo Trail, if I see a worm in front of me, I'll step on it. I just pick it up and move it out of the way. And when it rains, there's a lot of worms, right? So I'm spending more time picking up worms. Or I see a snail, I don't step on it. Some people like that crunchy sound. How sad is that? Before, it never used to bother me. But now I know that is a spirit and you're stepping on him. And so I pick up these snails and have to wait until they're done. They're suctioned onto something. So I have to wait until that poor little snail realizes he's being lifted up and move it. I used to walk along the Provo Trail and there's ducks everywhere, right? And I used to just run by them and not think anything about them. Now I feed them. I see them as family, because they go to heaven too. So I love these ducks like they were my own. And if you ever go to my website or go to Facebook and look up Visions of Heaven, you'll see all of these videos of me with the ducks or with the worms or with the birds or with everything, because I have a new love and fascination for the afterlife. And I know that everything here that has a spirit goes to the afterlife. So the tree, I started out with the tree. The tree, they all have limbs and they have buds and they die and they grow and they die and they grow. It's kind of like that's their in-between life. And I came to understand that these trees, some of them have been hundreds and hundreds of years, that God is actually a part of those trees and those buds that come to life. He loves those little buds. And when those little leaves fall down in the fall, he loves those little leaves. And they don't just die right there. You always wonder what happens to all those leaves. You rake them and you put them in the trash. Where do they go? They're not in the landfill. Guess where they go? Mm-hmm. I love that about trees. Now I'm a tree hugger. Mm-hmm. I'm a leaf hugger. I am I love owls, even though they scare me with my cats. And I love everything on earth because I saw it in heaven. And I saw them not just as somebody's pet or somebody's creature. I saw them as part of my family and their colors there. I have a friend who has a dog named Nutmeg. That color nutmeg, as it's a spice and it's a brown spice. Nutmeg in heaven is not the nutmeg that we pour into our recipes. Nutmeg there is this mind-blowing brown and tan and yellow and white and silver that screams nutmeg, and yet it doesn't look like any color I've ever seen before. And so the colors there are so much more, they're so screaming in their individuality. And even my horse, I love my first horse. My parents gave me this horse when I was 16 years old, half of it. I had to pay the other half myself. But I had been training this mare since she was a baby colt. And when I saw her and I ran up to her, she had that these colors coming off of her of love, because everything in heaven is about love, 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 love. That's everything. And I was petting her, and she was talking to me. She wasn't moving her lips. She wasn't saying anything, but I understood the things that she wanted to communicate to me. And I remember turning around to Junior like, and he said, and I understood that she loved me. She missed me. She was grateful for the way I put her down. She was grateful for the way that I found her a good home when I went off to college. And the same thing with our family dog. My brother's here. He remembers our dog, Ichabod. Ichabod was a short mutt, right? A short little mutt. But in heaven, he is not a mutt anymore. He walks like he's the prince of all dogs. And he's got these colors that aren't colors here. Ichabod was kind of an ugly, I'm sorry, Ichabod. He was kind of this weird color, black, and some brown and a little bit of white, right? But not in heaven. In heaven, he has these gold flecks and white flecks and silver flecks and red flecks and purple flecks and all these colors that, as I pet him, are coming out of his head, singing to me. How does he do that? How does he do that? And he was just so excited to show me he was whole again. He was all one piece. He had been in a car ran over him, mm-hmm. broke a lot of his bones as it happens, but not anymore. In heaven, everything is perfect. My Ichabod had grown like, oh, he was a big old like Great Dane now, because that's what he wanted to be. And he was beautiful. He was smart. He was talking to me. He told me to tell everybody in my family how much he loved us. And especially my dad, who was a mail carrier, and he used to follow him along, you know, along the streets. And he said, and tell dad how much I love him. And so back to my dreams. I not only met Richard's family, but I started to see ancestors of my own. And I believe the reason that I saw Richard's family first is because I saw my grandpa, and he was born here, and he was born here, for you to understand, than if I saw Richard's ancestor, like his mother and his grandfather. And so one time I was in a dream, and you know, dreams just happen. You can't control them, but they happen. I saw this beautiful lady walking towards me, and she looked at me and she said, "Hi, Jane, do you know who I am?" And I said, "No." And she said, "I'm your Aunt Carol." And I said, "I don't have an Aunt Carol." And she said, "Yes, you do. I'm your dad's baby sister." And I said, "He doesn't have a little sister." And she said, "Oh, yes, he does." I was stillborn. And I died in the womb. But I saw, and your dad and her mom and her other sister were in the birthing room. But my dad was outside the birthing room, and she saw him. And she said, "When I see him, to tell him that I saw him outside the birthing room crying, begging to come in so that he could hold me." And back then, they wouldn't let men come into the birthing room. I mean, this was, I don't want to age myself, but this was a really long time ago, right? And so so after I had this dream about her, and she said, "My name's Carol." And they only named me Carol because they wanted to bury me in the cemetery. And a lot of times with stillborn babies, they don't get such royal treatment, but they buried her in the cemetery. And she said, "I want you to tell your dad how much I love him." So I woke up from the dream, and I always recorded my dreams, either in a tape recorder or writing them down, because you know how dreams are. I mean, I had regular dreams too and nightmares, but these were dreams that I had to write these down because I knew that they were important for some reason, because every detail that I would hear about Richard's family, he would go and check. He would go check out with his brother. He would check the details out with his, with, he would go into the census and he would check out all those details. And finally, once he started believing me that everything I was seeing was correct, we started to actually mesh with his believing and following and trust that he had. So I called my dad later that day and I said, okay, Dad, why didn't you ever tell me that you have a sister named Carol? And he said, because I don't. She's dead. She's always been dead. And I said, oh no, Dad, she's not dead. I saw her in heaven. And he went click and hung up on me. And I, well, I'm used to that because I get a lot of this, right? This was, you know, this was back in 2006. A lot of people thought there was something wrong with me, including my dad. Sorry, Dad. He's watching this. So he called me back later and he said, how do you know about her? I saw her in heaven, Dad. She lives. She's perfect. She's being raised by your mom and dad from the time that she was a little stillborn baby. And she wants me to tell you that she saw you outside the birthing room, crying, demanding to come in and hold his sister. And then he saw the nurses turning you away. And he started crying. Well, not really crying. But I could hear him, you know. I could hear that he was kind of gasping, right? And I knew then that maybe I was getting through to him about some of the visions and some of the dreams that I was having. So going back to heaven again, because I know everybody wants lots and lots of details about heaven. The afterlife is waiting for all of us. It's not just for me because, you know, I talk about my message and I share the love that Jesus has. It's for everybody. And it's in everybody is a child of God. We're all children of God. He's our Heavenly Father. And when you think about that, I am a child of a God. I'm a child of a God. I mean, that blows my mind. But yet, when I was there, everything made sense. And I understood he's my Heavenly Father. But also, we have always been his child. And we always will be his child. And we were sent here to learn a lesson. We all know what our own individual lessons are. We all have our own struggles. But that was one of the lessons and the realizations that I came to. Once I understand what my gift was and what my message was. I'm sorry. So going back to the afterlife and the fact that everyone goes back to our Heavenly Father, some of us have not been so good on this earth, right? We haven't exactly followed the Ten Commandments, or, you know, we have murdered somebody, or, you know, we've stabbed somebody. Everybody goes back to the afterlife. However, if you have a lot of lessons to learn because you didn't learn it here, you might want to come back and try it again. Or there's always teaching and learning on the other side. There are missionaries that are there. There are teachers that are there. And their job is to teach us what we didn't learn here. And sometimes it can take years. I don't know exactly how long it takes, but I'll tell you one experience. I was with his mom and dad in a dream, and they said, Chuck is here. And I look at them and I'm like, Chuck, who's Chuck? And I didn't think anything about it until later, after I told Richard about my dream, and he said, well, funny that you should mention that he's just there now, because this has been over 50 years. However, he had burnt the house down that him and his dad were living in, and they both died in that fire. So he was off learning some kind of a lesson somewhere, and I don't really you know, I only saw a little tiny glimpse in there, but I understood we all have to go back and we all have to learn something here. And if we don't learn it here, we're going to learn it there. And time in heaven, that's another 3D, 100D, time there. I was dead for 3.5 minutes, three minutes and 31 seconds. But the time I spent in heaven seemed like a year because I was seeing and experiencing and learning so much that I can't tell you the time difference, but I know that in heaven, there's no seconds and minutes and years. So when we pray to Heavenly Father, I call it talking to him, which is another word for praying. Please let it happen today. I need this today. I want this person to not die today. I need this lottery today. I need, please, please, please. Well, it's going to happen because if you ask in the name of Jesus Christ, because everything that you ask our Heavenly Father in his name, you're given. Might not be here on earth. Might have to wait till you get to paradise. But that's what paradise is all about, isn't it? Giving us everything that we ever wanted and everything that we ever dreamt of. When we pass on, our ancestors are there waiting for us, and they know it's our time. They know us, they love us, they're there to make the experience easier. And I did one time, I remember in a dream that I had talked to Richard's dad about, well, what did it feel like? Because he was in surgery and he had died from complications. And he said, you know, I didn't die. I just transferred my spirit from one dimension to another. But when I got there, I couldn't understand why am I seeing my mom and my dad, my dad and my grandparents. His mom wasn't dead yet, but his dad and my grandparents. And I came to understand in heaven that that's because they've always been with us. We are eternal families. We will always be together. We will always be a part of his universe. We will always be a child of God. Now, when we're back reunited, depends on how much of a godly person we've been. So if you want to follow the Ten Commandments, you can. If you don't want to and you want to live life as you want to, you can. But you will learn the lessons he wants you to learn once you get in heaven. Okay, I'm watching my time. These realizations and these lessons that I learned about the afterlife, it took me years to understand in bits and pieces of these dreams and visions that I was having of actually what my message is. And I can't tell you how I learned it, because the Lord speaks to us in his own way. And we know that little sixth sense that we have. We know that little voice inside our head that talks to us. Guess who that is? If it's good, it's coming from God. If it's not good, don't go there. So I'm going to wrap this up. One thing that I want to share with you is that your loved ones that have passed on, they've never left you. They're still with you. There's no heaven up here and earth is down here and hell is over here. They're always with us. They're spirits. We are a spirit with a body, but they are always with us, helping us, teaching us, touching us, always with us. So that loved one that you thought is gone and you'll never see again, guess what? They can see you. They can hear you. And if you talk out loud to them, by George, they can hear you. So understand that your ancestors, they're not dead. They're just in a different sphere. And they want me to tell you and make sure that you understand, talk to them, please. They want to be part of your lives. They see you in your lives. They help you. If you ever sort of just stumble down the steps and suddenly, oh, you catch yourself, but there's no railing there. That's one of your ancestors who are also called spirits. and are part of your lives. So I want to end with that and ask you, are there any questions? I have like 15 minutes for questions and answers. Yes. Smiley. Yes. Well, there's no difference.
Restate the question for the people on the internet. So about
okay. Okay. The question was, when I was petting my horse Gypsy, was I actually petting her or was it in a dream? I was actually petting her. Yep. Anytime I have these dreams at night, I actually pass through the tunnel, I go through the light, and I see whatever I'm supposed to see. I have no control over my dreams because they're dreams. But because Gypsy knew that I could see her and I could pet her, she called for me and I went to see her. So all pets go to heaven and they're with you and they love you. And I know that I sound crazy saying this, but that's my experience. And I hope that answers your question. I was actually touching her. Yes.
Jane, would you share about McKay, our friend that's being buried tomorrow, 31 years old?
I will. The question was, explain about McKay, a friend of ours who's being buried tomorrow, and the experience that I had with McKay. So McKay, he died, and I didn't know he had passed on because my friends hadn't told me till the next day. But that night, I used to go to sleep about 9:30. I'm looking at the clock, it's 9:30, and I'm not even sleepy. And then it's 10:30, and it's 11:30, and I can't understand, why can't I sleep? And it wasn't until about 3 o'clock in the morning, all of a sudden there was this light, there was this tunnel. And at the end of this tunnel, I saw my friend McKay, perfect. And he had died of a liver cancer. And it had deteriorated this poor man, young man, 31 years old, to the point of nothing. And he was standing there saying, look at me, I am perfect. I'm healthy. I'm happy. I know my family is grieving, but can you please tell them I am okay? I'm more than okay. I'm here in paradise. And when it's time for them to come and join me, I will be here for them as well. And he also said, would you please tell my mom and my dad how much I appreciate the way they let me pass. He wanted to pass at home. He didn't want to go to a hospice. He suffered at home. But he said, my mom and dad, I want you to tell them how much I love them because they love me so much. They love me, love me, love me. And I have no way of telling them what I'm telling you, but will you please pass this message on? And then he was gone. Now, guess what? I went to sleep at 3:30. And the next morning I got up and I sent a text to one of my best friends, Sherry, here. And I said, what should I do? Should I tell them? Should I not tell them? I mean, in my heart, my whispering was, no, it's not time. They need to grieve. And that was Sherry said the same thing, that I will wait. But someday, sometime, when they're past the point of grieving for the body, they will want to hear about his spirit in heaven and how healthy and happy and perfect he is. And that was, and I was actually there with him. So in heaven.
We have an internet listener who asks if Jesus, as far as you know, from your contact with him, can know the thoughts and intents of our heart, and how important is that? If you can say,
and they heard that question. Okay. So Jesus lives in all of us. We're a child of God. Jesus is a child of God. And Jesus knows our heart because he's part of us. He'll always be part of us. He can hear our minds. He can hear our thoughts. Remember when I told you about the children that he was talking to one at a time when they were tickling his face? And yet he could hear everybody at the same time. I can't explain how he does that, but it's part of paradise. And it's part of a plan from our Heavenly Father called the Plan of Eternity, where we've always been His children. He sends us here on earth to learn whatever lessons we're supposed to learn, and then He brings us back. And He calls that the Plan of Eternity. And so I know that Jesus is always with us. And that's in my experiences, but I also saw it when He was with all those children in heaven. I know.
There's another internet participant who, how's the best way to ask this succinctly? Can you elaborate on the comments that you made earlier about wayward family members or people who
drift apart?
Do bad things here.
Okay. So we've always been, and we always will be, a part of this family that we were born into. Just because somebody becomes a bad person or sins or goes away from maybe a church religion that you believe in, that doesn't mean that they leave your family. That's just his body doing this. His spirit will still go back to heaven and will still be part of your eternal family. Does that answer the question? Okay. Yes. Does Jesus have a beard? How long is it? Oh, well, okay. So this lady wants to know what Jesus looks like. One thing I learned about heaven is that we all have our own idea of what paradise is and what Jesus looks like. Some people have a picture of him and he has long hair and a beard and a long beard. Everybody has a different concept of what Jesus looks like. When I saw him, he had a beard, just a nice, beautiful, a nice, beautiful beard. It wasn't long. It wasn't scrubbly looking. It was perfectly groomed. His hair was about this length and it was brown, but not the brown that we see. It was like a heavenly brown. And he was wearing a white robe. And sometimes people think that this white robe are wings behind the spirits or behind Jesus. It's actually part of his robe. And it might be blowing because that's just part of who he is, but it's not wings. Yes.
So one thing you mentioned when the cave portion you look and remember that you said you kind of struck me, you said you saw billions of people.
Yes.
I'm trying to imagine how one could take in that number, so maybe you could elaborate on that.
Okay. The question was, when I first opened my talk, I was talking about seeing billions of people and how that could happen, how I could see that. You just have to have faith that heaven is there, and you can see billions of people at the same time, just like Jesus can listen to billions of people at the same time. And I saw them and I knew that they were billions of people because the spirit was telling me that these were billions of people, but I had no concept. I mean, there was time and space and this, and there was everything around there, but I knew there were billions of people because he told me that. Yes.
So you say that your main communication is through dream that you...
It starts with dreams. And I know that something's happening because I see this white light. And at the end of it, so I go through this, my spirit goes through this tunnel. And at the end of the, and at the very end is a white light. And whoever, whatever, whenever, there's a gift or a lesson at the end of this tunnel that I'm supposed to learn. That's how it happens. And I can't really, my body's not traveling through space. My spirit's not traveling through space. Myself is not traveling anywhere. It's just all happening as part of my spirit. And it's difficult to explain that because we're not able to see what happens beyond this veil that's between heaven and earth. But I just know that it happens. And I know some people think, yeah, but.
But the other part of the question, so your experience is now that you're back on Earth, through dreams is how you have communication. Do you have other awarenesses or gifts that help you that in your communication with those from the other side?
Okay, let's start with the first. The first question was,
is dreams mainly the way that you get
is dreams okay? Is dreams mainly the way that I get this communication? Mm-hmm. Let me answer that part first. No. Part of my gift is that I also can sense and see spirits and family members around you. And it's not like I'm looking at you and saying, oh, I see, you know, I see this or I see that. It actually happens because that person wants to communicate maybe from the other side of the veil with this gentleman, might be his wife, might be his mom, but that's when it happens. And that happens when I'm awake. And sometimes I can be around a woman and I know she's pregnant before she does. Those are just parts of my gift and I can't explain why I have it or when I have it. Sometimes I can go to a temple and I'll see a whole bunch of angels everywhere. And yet one at a time, because that one person might have a miracle occurring on that day. And the second part of your?
Okay. I just want to know what your awareness is or...
Everything, everything. And I have all those other gifts as well. I'm not a medium. I mean, I can't take your, you know, talk to somebody for you, but if they want to communicate, I can surely hear it and tell you. Thank yes. Okay, the question, wait, say the second part of that.
I said, did you look at people and you were full color, or did they look white and look like spirits, and did you look down and see yourself?
Okay, so the question is, how did I see these people? Were they in full color, or were they more like a spirit where they're white, and could I look down and see their skin? I could look down and see, okay. So when a spirit is looking at another spirit, if that spirit wants you to see them in color, you can see them in color. They have control of that side of the veil. I could also look down and see my own body. I knew that I was the body, but I also knew I was a spirit too. And everybody wants to know, well, how am I going to recognize somebody on the other side? Because you know their spirit. You know their spirit. That answer your question?
They look like they're full color.
Oh, they're full color. They're full color if they want you to see them in full color.
And you look down and you saw yourself.
I look down and I look just like this. Maybe a little tanner.
Thank you.
Sure.
One last question.
Okay.
And that was, can you elaborate on Jesus' personality? You talked about how he looked visually, but can you elaborate on his personality?
Oh, yes. I could talk for hours about his personality. Jesus is love. He's all about loving you for who you are. There's no judgment. There's no social differences. There's no colors. There's no black. There's no white. There's no yellow. Jesus is love. And the whole energy of love, if you can think about somebody that you love dearly and magnify that by a billion, well, maybe a million times, magnify it that much. And that's what Jesus is. Love is coming out of every pore and cell of his body. And that's what it's all about. It's all about love. Yes.
Well, the Bible says, God is love.
Yes, he is.
And your experience verifies.
Thank you. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
Jane, thank you for presenting tonight. Those of you who are here in person or via Zoom, you're invited to join us again next month on the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. Thank you so much.